So we're going to begin reading again there, 2 Chronicles chapter number 9, again in verse number 1. So the Bible says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also and their apparel and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, 'It was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard.'" Verse 7, "Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom." So here we have Israel in the moment of its greatest prosperity and its greatest blessings that God has ever bestowed upon Israel. And previous to this chapter, and if you compare it to its parallel in the book of 1 Kings, God gets done speaking about the greatness of the temple. And just like he did at the end of this chapter as well, he talks about all the riches and all the blessings that were given to Solomon. And the Queen of Sheba, and this is a significant moment because Jesus even refers back to this in the New Testament. The Queen of Sheba, he calls her the Queen of the South. She hears of the fame and she hears of the wisdom of Solomon. And she comes, it says, like it right here in the chapter, to prove him with hard questions. And when she comes, you know, she asks him the questions and he's able to tell her all that's in her heart. And she sees everything and she's very impressed. And she even makes this a pretty profound statement where she says, you know, "I didn't even believe it before and the half wasn't even told me at this time." So they're in great prosperity and they're receiving great blessings at this time. And she points out a couple of things that stand out to her that are outstanding in her mind. Some things that impress her. Look at verse number 7. It says, "Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom." Why would she say that? Because most people are not happy being a servant. That's a fact. 52.3% of Americans today say they are unhappy at work. That's studies. I looked at like four studies and they're almost all exactly the same. 52.3%. Now that included too, I looked who it included and they said it's just random. It's upper management, lower management. It's all across the board. It's everyone. People in the past have not, you know, enjoyed and have not been happy being a servant, and people today are not. The world looks at being a servant and they look down upon that job. And they say that job is a demeaning job. And they say that job, you know, they would look at a person that holds that position and they would say that that person is inferior to them. They would say that that job is an inferior job. And that's not the attitude that a Christian should have about being a servant. The title of my sermon comes from verse number 7. We'll read it one more time. It says, "Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom." And the title of the sermon is "Happy to Serve." And I'm going to preach about being a servant, and specifically I'm going to preach about being a joyful servant and being happy to serve and being willing to serve. Not only happy to serve, desiring the job, but being happy while you serve. This is a job that God exalts. This isn't a job to be looked down upon. This is a job that God says that it's a great job. It's a job that Jesus Christ says that you should desire in your Christian life. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 65, verse number 14. We'll read a couple of verses quickly about being a joyful servant and about being a happy servant. So we'll read a few verses here by way of introduction. Isaiah chapter number 65, verse number 14. Look at Isaiah chapter number 65, verse number 14. The Bible says, "Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart and shall howl for vexation of spirit." So he says, behold, God speaking, "My servants shall sing for joy of heart." That God's servants should be happy. Look at Psalms chapter number 35, verse number 27. Psalms chapter number 35, verse number 27. Psalms chapter number 35, verse number 27. The Bible says, let them shout for joy and be glad. So he says it twice in two different ways. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, he says. Of his servant. So who should shout for joy? Who should be glad? His servants. Turn to Romans chapter number 12, verse number 11. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 11. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 11. The Bible says in verse number 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, a lot of people read chapters like Romans chapter number 12, and then another famous one is 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, where it has all of these statements, and they look at them like they're completely unrelated statements. But the Bible always, everywhere, has a context. Whether it's a short context, sometimes chapters will have three contexts, but it always has a context, and it always has continuity. And even Romans chapter 12 here has continuity. Look at verse 11 one more time. Not slothful in business. So it gives you something that you shouldn't do. Then he says right after that, fervent in spirit, something you should do. And then he says, it gives you the subject of what he's speaking about right now, serving the Lord. Now look at verse number 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So as soon as he gets done saying, serving the Lord, he says, rejoicing in hope. We as Christians should be happy to serve God. We should desire the office of a servant. We as Christians, and there is no position in the church, there is no position available in Christianity where you're not a servant. We're all servants. We're all, and this is my first point, number one, why should we be happy? And number one is because we are a servant of the Lord. Amen. Turn to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. And what does the word Lord mean? The word Lord means boss. Right? I've had a lot of bosses in my life, and I've had a lot of bosses, you know, that I didn't like. I'm sure everybody could say that. I've had a lot of bad bosses. I love my boss right now, right? But I've had a lot of bosses in the past that I did not like, and that's a fact. We have the best boss. We have the best boss as Jesus Christ. We have the best Lord. You know why? Because he's righteous. That's the reason why. Now, when you go to your job sometimes people could hold a grudge at you. Maybe your boss doesn't like you for some reason. Maybe he's envious at you, and you don't get what you deserve. You don't get the raise that you deserve. You don't get paid a just wage because of that. God's not like that. If you are a servant of the Lord, if you're a Christian, every single thing that you do upon this planet, every work that you have ever done for God, you will be paid justly for that. Amen. God will pay you justly for every work. That should be an incentive. You know, if you knew at your job, hey, if I do X, Y, and Z, if I go out and I work as hard as I possibly can, your boss says, I guarantee you that position. Are you telling me you wouldn't do that? That's what God says. God says if you work hard, God gives a list of things that we should do, a list of obviously commandments and rewards that we should earn. And we should take, we know that, you know, God, you know, like it, just like eternal life and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. He can't go back on that. God's a just God. God is a righteous God. And that's the first reason why we should be happy to serve, is because God is our boss, because God is our Lord. Look at Romans chapter number 6. We'll begin reading in verse number 16. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 16, he says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then, verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 16 says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Every single Christian, if you are saved, you are a servant of the Lord. If you're not serving God, that doesn't make you not a servant of the Lord. That just makes you not fulfilling your duties. That just makes you lazy. That makes you slothful in business, like it said before. But every Christian, if you are saved, you are a servant of God. All the great men of the Old Testament, all the great men of the New Testament were all servants of God, and they were all referred to by the Lord as the servant of God. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 1. And they all referred to themselves as a servant of God. And this is also something we can take note of. It's not one of my points specifically, but it's something we can take note of, that none of them were ashamed to say, I'm a servant of the Lord. They didn't, you know, all the great men of God, if you want to be a great man of God, take an example of someone in the Bible who God lifts up and who God exalts. And they repeatedly, they didn't have any problem with saying that they were a servant of the Lord. They didn't look at the job of a servant. They didn't look at the job of someone that's serving as it being demeaning or as it being inferior, as it not being a good job or beneath them. You're in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 1. I'll read to you from Deuteronomy chapter number 34, verse number 5. The Bible says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. So it said, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, that's the Holy Spirit speaking. Numbers chapter number 11, verse number 11 said this, and Moses said unto the Lord, so this is Moses speaking this time, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I, talking about himself, not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? So God said that Moses was a servant of his. God said he's the servant of the Lord. And then also Moses said about himself that I'm a servant of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 1, Simon Peter, one of the 12 disciples, said, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Turn to Jude chapter number 1, verse number 1. I'll read you from Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 19. He says, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Joshua chapter number 5, verse number 14. That was the Holy Spirit speaking before. Joshua chapter number 5, verse number 14. And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Then Joshua has no problem at all with saying that he is God's servant, that he's a servant. Look at, you're in Jude, right? Chapter number 1, verse number 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Turn to James chapter number 1, verse number 1. I'm trying to keep them all close. Titus chapter number 1, verse number 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Almost all of Paul's letters all start off, Paul, a servant of God. Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in James chapter number 1, verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Turn to Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 1. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 1. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants, referring to us, the saved that were on earth, unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. John's the one writing this letter, and he refers to himself as a servant again. This is probably my favorite one. Turn to Acts chapter number 16, verse number 17. Acts chapter number 16, verse number 17. Acts chapter number 16, verse number 17. Says, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. I could see how a person that's not saved, that goes to work every day and feels like he has no purpose in this life and that he has a boss, you know, that he looks at his job and he doesn't like his boss and he doesn't enjoy his job. I could possibly understand how a person could be in a situation where they do not enjoy their job. But I can't even begin to fathom how a person who is called the servant of the Lord, how you are a servant of the Most High God, could not enjoy or could and would not be happy just saying, I'm the servant of the Lord. I mean, there couldn't be a better position upon this planet that was offered to you. We should all be happy to say and have no trouble and have no problem and not have the world's view of like it's demeaning to be a servant. And look down upon someone that says that they're a servant. And here's the thing too. At your everyday job, even if you do not enjoy your everyday job and you are not happy to go to work every day in the sense that you just don't like the job that you have, it doesn't matter whether you are working outside of this church or you're working inside this church or whether you're soul winning, you're always serving God. Everything that you do. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 6. This is written specifically to servants. Servants in the sense that people that are working and they have a master. They have a man that they're working for upon this earth. Very similar to you if you have a secular job, if you go out and you work somewhere. Look at Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 6. Not with eye service, talking about being obedient. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Look at Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 22. That was Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 6, was speaking unto servants, and he said, not with eye service, not only when people are looking at you, not being a man pleaser. You're not only doing your job because your boss wants you to, because you're trying to please your boss. He says, but as the servants of Christ, the servant of the Lord, the servant of God. He says, doing the will of God from your heart. We get a little bit more from Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 22. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. And then he says this, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So he says there in this passage, it's very similar, but he says in this passage, but in singleness of heart. That means with your whole heart. That means half your heart, you know, you're not wanting to disobey, and then half your heart, you know, is wanting to obey. He's saying in singleness of heart, your whole heart, you should be serving God with everything that you do. So if you go out and you work at, you know, wherever you work, Walmart, it doesn't matter. You should work with the mentality that you are working for God just as much at Walmart as you are if you come and you go soul winning. If you play in the band, if you clean the church, if you do anything around the church that benefits, you know, spiritually for the church, that is just as important and just the same as when you go to work. Because you're always working for God. Every single thing that you do, you're working for God. All the time. We are a servant of the Lord. Number one, in the very first point, like I said, we should be happy to serve because we are a servant of God, because we have the best boss, because we have the best Lord. That's what the word Lord means. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 24. And like I said, there's no one in a position that's not serving. Everyone is a servant. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 24. Speaking unto a preacher here, speaking unto a pastor in the pastoral epistles, he says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 24, he says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So notice he said in the beginning of verse number 24, he said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. So he says the servant of the Lord, he's speaking to the servant of the Lord, speaking about a preacher, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Talking about him serving others, right? Be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. When he's teaching, what is he doing? He's doing this work for the benefit of someone else. He's not only serving God, but God's request or what God's command is for you when you're serving is for you to serve others often. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. This is actually where it gives the qualifications for a bishop. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Look again at 1 Timothy chapter number 3. It says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Right? Like you're serving, a servant. And then it says in verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior. And then it says, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Over and over again, we see when it's talking about a servant, it's talking about somebody doing work, it's talking about them doing things that are benefiting others, apt to teach. And what is the number one job for a pastor? What's the number one job for a bishop of a church? It's to stand up behind the pulpit and to feed the flock, right? To feed the flock. It's an analogy that's used in one of Peter's epistles. He talks about feeding the flock. Now, if you go to a restaurant, what's the person called that brings your food? They're called a server, right? Because they're serving you. They are a servant. Even the bishop, even the guy that stands up behind the pulpit and is the pastor, his job is to serve the people. He's the boss. He's the ruler, of course. But what has been given, the responsibility that's been given, is for him to be a servant. It's for him to do things for other people, to benefit other people. And that's why the Bible says not self-willed. It's not about what you do. It's not about, you know, and this is good for all the men that desire one day to be a pastor, to understand that before you go and pastor a church, that it's not about, if somebody says, hey, that's a great sermon, it shouldn't be because, you know, because everybody just thinks it was a cool sermon. It should be because people were edified by the sermon. It should be because when you walked away that you learned something from the sermon. It should be that the person that stood up behind the pulpit, they were serving you and they were helping you and benefiting the people that were listening to the sermon. The job of a pastor, the job of every worker is to be a servant of the Lord, number one, but it's also to help other people. Now, and I can say this from the bottom of my heart, and I mean this in every way possible. When I first had the desire to be a pastor, 100%, when I first had the desire to be a pastor, I grew up in an independent fundamental Baptist church, and I didn't start really serving God until I was like 21. And when I started going to church and going to Bible study, I was hungry for the truth, and I was sincere, and I really wanted to understand what the Bible taught. And everyone at my church, all the preachers and everything, and the pastor was hyper-dispensationalist. And, you know, they're wrong about a lot of stuff. And it took me a long time when I was getting through the stage of being a babe in Christ, because I had to just read the Bible a lot for myself because I was confused all the time. And when I finally started understanding the Bible for myself, I started understanding the Bible personally for myself, I cherished that, and it was very important to me. You know how I felt? I honestly got the desire to be a pastor because I wanted other people to be able to understand the Bible. And that is, honestly, I can say that from deep down in the bottom of my heart. I wanted other people to become, you know, sound in doctrine. And I still feel that way today. I want the top desires that I have for the church that I'm going to pastor in Jacksonville, Florida, is for everyone to be sound in their doctrine, to be able to understand. Because if you have the knowledge, that's the first step. Then you just have to apply it. That is, I promise on that completely, 100%. You cannot be self-willed if you desire to be a pastor. You have to, you know, serve God, and it has to be about, and you have to understand that the job of being a pastor is about serving others. It's about serving others. That's always, you know, the job of a pastor. And, you know, when I was given offered the position, even as a deacon, a couple parts of my testimony, when I was offered the position as a deacon, previous to that, I worked at a really big, networking company in Greater Phoenix area here. And I was in a position of a project manager. And I was in upper management, so I had three crews that I ran, and I had three supervisors, on-site supervisors or foremen that reported to me. So I had a good job. And I didn't consider it a demotion when I took this job. I honestly believe and I honestly feel like this is the best job that I've ever had. And the title of a deacon, what the word deacon means, is servant. And I have no problem with saying that at all. I have no problem with saying that I am a servant, because I'm a servant of the Lord. But the work that I do here at the church, in serving God, of course it directly affects the church, but you at your job can serve God in the same way that I do. The work that you do every day, directly, you're working for the Lord. You're being a servant of the Lord all the time. Turn to Matthew chapter number 23, verse number 10. Matthew chapter number 23, verse number 10. So the first point is that we're the servant of the Lord. That's why we should be happy servants. We're a servant of the Lord. Look at Matthew chapter number 23, verse number 10. Matthew chapter number 23, verse number 10. Whoops. Matthew chapter number 23, verse number 10, Jesus says, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." Then he says this, "But he that is greatest among you," talking to his disciples, talking to the apostles, talking to a lot of men that ended up becoming pastors after this, "but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Turn to Mark chapter number 9, verse number 34. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 34. My next point is that Jesus Christ and God exalts the position of a servant. We shouldn't look down upon the position of a servant. We should desire the position of a servant. We should be happy being a servant of the Lord. Look at Mark chapter number 9, verse number 34. And I bet if we were to take, like I said, the bishop's job is to serve. And I bet if we were to take a poll, we were to ask, you know, a bunch of people in this church. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in this church that are just regular members of the church that have done a lot for you in your personal life. But I guarantee if we took a poll right now, when we asked, and we went around, and we did every single person in this church of who's done more for you and who's helped you more in your personal life, I guarantee that most people would say, Pastor Anderson. I guarantee it. So if you want to be great, if you want to do great works for God, then you have to be a servant. You have to be willing to do a lot of work. You have to be willing to serve. If you want to be a pastor, if you want to help people and you're not self-willed and you want to help people sincerely and singleness of heart, and you want to, you know, pastor a church, then you need to have the right attitude and you need to be ready and understand that you're going to be a servant and that it's not a demeaning job and that God exalts the position of a servant. Look at Mark chapter number 9, verse number 34. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 34. We'll start in verse 33. It says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? This is Jesus speaking. Verse 34. But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Verse number 35. Jesus says, and he sat down, it says, and he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be least of all. And then it says, and servant of all. If you want to be first, you are going to be the servant of all. Now, and this goes into my third point. Point number one is I'm talking about why we should be happy servants. Point number one is because we're the servant of the Lord, because we have the best boss. Point number two is because it's a position that God exalts. If God says it's a position that it's the greatest position, then it's a position that I want to attain unto. I want to do enough to make him happy. I want to please my creator. So if he says it's a great position, if he says it's a position that the greatest has, then that's the position that I want. And if it's being a servant and it's being humble, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to please God. That's the attitude that we should have. Turn to Romans chapter number 12. Point number one, because we are serving God, we have the best boss. Point number two, because God exalts the position of a servant. And then point number three is that we're serving others. We should be happy because we're serving others. That makes people happy. You know what type of person is not happy? A person that's always serving themselves. That's the kind of person that's not happy. Look at Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. We'll start in verse number 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now watch this when he starts naming off these gifts. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. That's helping someone else, right? The next verse, or the next part of that verse. Or he that teacheth on teaching, that's helping someone else. Look at the next verse. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, helping someone else. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, being a happy servant again. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And he says, in honor, preferring one another. Notice everything in this chapter is about helping someone else. And this chapter right here, like I said, is a parallel, has a lot of things that are parallels with 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, which is the famous, you know, charity chapter. And if we were to compare a lot of things here, we'd notice that it's talking about, number one, about loving others, about helping others, about serving others. Keep reading there. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, it says. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Look at verse number 1 now. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Talking about serving who right now? Serving the Lord, right? It's talking about serving God. Do you know how we serve the Lord? Now we serve God by serving others. Every single commandment that God gives us practically is going to be for us when we're serving Him, being obedient, is serving others. Think about what's considered the Great Commission, the greatest command in the New Testament practically that's given to us. Think about what you're doing when you go do that. When you go knock on somebody else's door, it has to be a selfless act. You're not serving yourself. You're going out and you're trying to help other people. You're trying to get other people saved. When you come and you participate in the band, that's for the, obviously the whole congregation's edification. Every job that is given from God, every command that is given from God, when you are being obedient to God, He, all of His commandments are ordained and He is commanding you to where you are going to be serving other people. That is the job of a Christian. The job of a Christian, you are a servant of the Lord, yes. Point number one, you're a servant of the Lord. But you know what all of God's commands are? For you to serve other people. Every single one of them. If you want to be the greatest, you know what you're going to have to do? You want to be the greatest of all. I want to be the greatest Christian that ever lived. You know what you're going to have to do? Be the servant of all, like Jesus said. You're going to have to serve everybody. You want to be the greatest Christian that's ever lived? You better be prepared to serve. You better be prepared to work. You know, if you have, you know, big ambitions and big goals with your life and you want to grow as a Christian, you're going to hit a halt if you're not willing to serve. You're going to be at a, you know, you're going to be at a stopping point if you aren't willing to serve other people. If you aren't willing to put, and notice there's a lot of talk about humility here because it takes a humble person, right? It takes the attitude of like what John the Baptist said, the attitude of being a humble person. Just like I said earlier, the pastor has to be a humble person. The pastor has to stand behind the pulpit and put others first, not just preach on subjects he enjoys, not just preach on things that he likes in the, you know, in the Bible. Not just preach on his interests, but preach on things that are going to help the people in the church. Turn to Acts chapter number 20, verse number 35. Acts chapter number 20, verse number 35. We're going to end here. Acts chapter number 20, verse number 35. So like I said, point number one, why should we be a happy servant? Point number one, because we're serving the Lord, that's why you should be a happy servant. Point number two, why should you be a happy servant? Because you have a job that God exalted. You have a job that God said it's the greatest job. If you want to be the greatest Christian, then you'd be a servant. That's the job that's given to a Christian. Point number three, why should you be a happy servant? Because you're serving other people. Like I said, you know why 52.3% of Americans are unhappy with their job? Because they're selfish. Because they're prideful. Because they're going to work and they're thinking every single day, I could do better than this. They're not humble. You know why? You know why they're unhappy? Because they're putting themselves first. That's why. Because they're putting themselves first. They're not happy because they aren't putting other people first. They're not going to the job and thinking, well, you know, I can, what can I do to help out my company? That's not the attitude that they have. They have an attitude because they want to do something better. They think that the job of a servant, they think that the job of just a regular employee is demeaning. That's what they think. They think that they deserve a better job. That's not the attitude that we should have. We should put others first. We should be happy with the job of being a servant. We should be happy of being with being a servant. Look at Acts chapter number 20, verse number 35. I'm going to end here. This encompasses a lot of my points. Acts chapter number 20, verse number 35. Paul says this, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, talking about serving, talking about working, laboring, you ought to support the weak, right? It's talking about serving others, right? Now watch this. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, talking about being obedient unto God, serving the Lord specifically, while you're serving others. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, and he says, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's Jesus Christ again exalting the position of a servant, saying it's better. And the word blessed overlaps with the word being happy. You know how you'll be happy? Serving other people. You know how you'll be happy? Serving God. And we should have, as a Christian, we should have a willing heart. And we should have a heart where we're happy to serve. Not where we think that the job of a servant is below us. We should have a humble heart and we should be willing to serve. We should come to church and we should be looking for a job to do here at church. We should come to church and we should have, you know, the mindset of, hey, I'm just happy being a servant. I'm just happy, you know, just like David said, you know, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord. You know, that it's better to be a servant for God than to have any other position. So a Christian has no reason not to be happy. And if you're not happy, you know, then you better just serve God anyways. You know, we just need to, if you get in the Bible, here's the thing. A lot of times when people, you know, people don't do things because they're just not happy in the first place. Do you know how to make yourself happy? Just start doing it. And then eventually you'll get happy. Because God's laws are practical. God's laws aren't just like, you know, I want you to do this, but it just makes no sense, like why I'm doing it. God's laws are practical. That's why God says if you live this kind of life, you'll live a blessed life. If you keep the commandments, you'll live a blessed life. God lays out things not only which we're supposed to keep to fulfill righteousness, obviously not our own righteousness for salvation, but God would like us to live a righteous life. He doesn't just give us those laws, you know, just and they make zero sense. The way to be happy is by keeping God's commandments. The way to be happy is by living your life by this book. And even if you're not happy serving God, the best way to become happy serving God is just to keep serving God. Amen. You obviously should try to change your attitude. You obviously should get into this book, and this book will, you know, change your mind. It'll transform your mind, like it says in Romans chapter 12. But you just need to keep serving God anyways. That's what we need to do. And we have the best job in the world. And if anybody should be happy, it should be a Christian. It should be a servant of the Most High Almighty God. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, excuse me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, dear Lord. And we thank you for the position, dear Lord. And help us to be humble. Help us to be happy with the job of being a servant, dear Lord God. Help us, dear Lord, to not feel that we're above that. Dear God, but help us to just serve others and to live a happy life and a blessed life, dear Lord, and just give us an understanding of your word. Help us to walk in the Spirit and help us to live a blessed life. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.